Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor John. It's great to see all of you, especially for today, Baptism Sunday. You guys excited? This is one of my favorite celebrations here at the church. It's a chance to celebrate new life. And if you would, inside your bulletins, there are some sermon notes. And if you have a Bible, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. What I'd like to talk about today is the whole idea of spiritual awakening. The whole thing where God does something in your spirit that awakens your soul to something new. How many of you have ever viewed a situation and you thought you understood it and you had formed a judgment or a perspective on it, but then you got new information and it totally changed how you saw that initial situation? You know what I'm talking about? We sometimes call that a paradigm shift or an aha moment or an enlightening or an awakening. I remember I was speaking at a conference once among a lot of youth. It was a youth group conference. And I saw a group of people standing around a ping pong table. And one girl was on one side playing and a guy was on the other side. And I saw this group and I thought, I can't believe they're not playing round robin. You ever played round robin before? It's the idea where you hit the ping pong, but then you put the paddle down, go in line, the next person comes around you, picks the paddle up and hits again. You kind of keep going around. You've seen that before? Great game. Anyway, you guys are looking very bored, but it's a really good game. And I noticed that they were all standing around, but they weren't playing this awesome game. They were just letting this one girl play. And I thought, this is silly. Let me teach them how to play a fun game. So without saying much, I watched. I'm like, you guys have to learn how to play a round robin. I explained all the rules, and they're all kind of giving me blank stares, but I just said, we're going to go for it. Let's try. And as we started playing, I noticed the one girl who was playing was having a hard time. So I talked to her. I was trying to explain the rules to her over and over again. And it dawned on me about a minute into the conversation that she had a mental disability and wasn't able to play ping pong very well. And all of them had stand around to give her a chance to play. Doofus! That little piece of information changed the whole perspective for me and gave me an enlightenment, an aha, an experience where I saw a situation, but in total different light. You know that God does that with our spirits too? That sometimes we come into this world thinking, I think we got it, we have this impression of things going on, but God does something in us. He gives us his wisdom that we can't get on our own, and we see life with a whole new perspective. Everything looks different. Everything is clearer because God has come into our lives and given us a spiritual awakening. That's what we're doing today with Baptism Sunday. We are celebrating and symbolizing the spiritual awakening God has done in many people's lives in our church. Now, one of the things about spiritual awakenings is that we can never get to them on our own. We need God's help. And so what I want to do is talk about this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. If you're just visiting for the first time, I just want to give some background. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been talking about these crazy Christians. This was a letter that a man named Paul wrote to a church that he had started but had since left. And this church had literally gone crazy. They were doing things that were just weird. They were suing each other. They were in weird sexual relationships. They were getting drunk on communion. They were bragging about who their favorite teacher was and getting into all kinds of fights. It was a crazy church. So Paul is writing this letter. And so just some background, just so you can appreciate the tension going on in this letter. Paul started this church in Corinth. He was there for a year and a half. He saw many people have a spiritual awakening and get baptized and become followers of Jesus. He left after a year and a half, and another guy named Apollos, another Christian, began to teach at that church. Apollos was really smart. He was brilliant. He was articulate. He was eloquent. And the people in the church of Corinth began to think, man, Apollos is a lot better than Paul, the guy who started our church. Paul looks really stupid compared to Apollos. And so they began to divide within the church who was the better teacher. Now, that sounds silly, but you should see the church today. We get divided over all kinds of small things. And so Paul writes this letter saying, you guys, this isn't about me. It's not about Apollos. It's not about any other leader. It's about Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, Paul writes this letter. He says, in fact, when I came to you to share about Jesus, I purposely played dumb. I just want you to know about Jesus Christ and him crucified, him dying for you. That's all I want to know. I didn't go eloquent on you. So I want you to know I intentionally did that so that you wouldn't think I'm a great person, but rather you would understand who Jesus Christ is. He's the one I want you to know. But then he begins to talk about this. He says, but I want you to know I'm not that stupid after all. I actually know a few things, and I want to share what I know. and it's called God's Wisdom. And I want to share about God's wisdom with you. And so the first thing he says about God's wisdom is that because it's God's wisdom and not our own, there is no way we could understand it on our own. And if you want to experience a spiritual awakening, I want you guys to know there's nothing you can do to understand God. It's a gift from God that you're open to. So take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. This is what Paul says. He says, we do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature. Sorry, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. So Paul's saying, we actually were speaking a message of wisdom, but only those who understand it are mature. It's not the wisdom of the rulers of today. It's not the professor's wisdom. It's not the president's wisdom. It's a spiritual wisdom. Verse 7, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. What Paul is saying here is that I was speaking wisdom. You might have thought it was stupid, but I was speaking wisdom. And that wisdom, that God's secret wisdom, is that Jesus Christ came to earth from heaven, forgave your sins on the cross, and was resurrected. And he says that when I share that, you don't understand that unless God tells you because it's too much for you. I remember when I was taking science or chemistry, it was physics actually, it tells you how much I remember, and we learned about Einstein. Do you guys ever study Einstein in school? He's a guy who came up with E equals MC squared, and we don't really know what that means, but also what he says is that the maximum speed anything can travel is the speed of light. So just for perspective, in 1 second, light travels around the Earth 7 times. That's the speed of light, okay? Light's quick. Einstein's theory is that no one could travel faster than the speed of light, but as you approach the speed of light, time shifts for you. What? So if you were to fly to some distant planet at near the speed of light and come back, you would be younger than everyone who was your age when you left. What? I don't get it. Yeah, that's cool. I don't get it, though. So, you know, people are trying to figure out, hey, maybe I can, like, slow down my... This is, I can't understand how that works, but Einstein did, and he did a way that other people, his brilliance, said, you're right. You're right. That makes sense. The only way I could ever understand that is if I could somehow take Einstein's brain, put it in my own, and get what he's saying. Because other than that, I'm just like, huh? And that's what Paul says. Verse 10, halfway through. He says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? What Paul's saying is, you want to know how to, who knows a man's thought? A man does. Who knows what you're thinking? You do. Welcome to church. This is what you're learning. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And then get this. This is the most important verse right here. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. What Paul is saying here is in order to have an aha, paradigm shift, spiritual awakening with God, there is no way we can understand the wisdom of God. He's too big. He's too powerful. Our brains can't get around him. If we're to have any hope, God would actually have to send his Spirit and have him live within us. And at that point, we go, I get it. I get it. And though I may be using words right now that are hard to understand, I want you to understand that when people really understand who Jesus Christ is, and the gift that God gave us through him, they have that, oh, I get it. I didn't see it before. C.S. Lewis, the popular author who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia, said, "I'm not sure when it happened, but I was being driven to the zoo, and somewhere between where we left and I got to the zoo, I became a Christian." There was no emotional experience, but all of a sudden, I saw things I never saw before. Things made sense in a new way. I saw the world, I saw my life in a totally new, different perspective. Sometimes Christians use the phrase born again. It's like a new birth. Theologians use the word regeneration. It's the idea of a spiritual rebirth that comes from God, and we only get it because God has put his spirit in us. For those of you familiar with the parable of the prodigal son, about a story Jesus told about a young son who left his father, who asked for his father's inheritance before his father died, and went and spent all the money on wild living. The son eventually got to a point where the Bible says he came to his senses and he realized life was much better with his father. An aha experience. Oh, now I get it. It's a spiritual renewal, a spiritual awakening. We have to realize that it's an act of God that he gives us that privilege of seeing that. And the only way we can understand it is if God somehow gave us his spirit, is what we're celebrating today during the baptism. Here's the other thing I want you guys to understand, that when that happens, when God gives you that spiritual awakening, whether it be the first time or continually as we go through life, we have to respond to it. We can't just go, "Oh, that's cool. Now I see things in a different perspective." Wouldn't that be awful if I understood that this lady who was playing ping pong had a mental disability and everyone was caring for her, and I said, "Now that I see the accurate situation, who cares? Let's play round robin." That would have been awful. But for me to respond well, I had to say, "Whoops, I blew it. I need to change." When you have a spiritual aha moment, the first thing to do is just be grateful to God. "God, thank you. I know that if it weren't for your spirit showing this to me, I would have never got it on my own. I'm no Einstein here. Thank you." Here's the other thing we can do. We can pray that our friends and family who have not had that spiritual awakening yet, who have not been rejuvenated by God through his spirit, we pray for that. We say, "God, will you awaken them just like you awakened me? Because I can't do it. That's a gift from you." So we pray for our friends that they too would have that paradigm shift, that aha, that spiritual awakening where life finally makes sense and it's about Jesus Christ. Here's something else that Paul says, if you want to turn to the last couple of verses of this section. Verse 14. "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." What Paul is saying here is that when you share good news, but God's spirit has not yet awakened someone's soul, they don't understand what's being said. In fact, it looks like foolishness to them. Just like the whole idea that we can travel at the speed of light and not age as quickly. It just seems silly. And Paul's saying it seems foolish to people who have not been awakened by God's wisdom, by Jesus Christ. He can't understand them. And then he says this, verse 15, "The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself was not subject to any man's judgment." Here's what I want you to know about this, that when you respond to God's spiritual awakening, not everyone gets it. In fact, they may make fun of you. They may think, "Oh, this is a nice ceremony you're doing here. That's really cute. You'll get over it in about 10 years. And you're going, no. Jesus Christ absolutely changed my life. I'm not toying around here. My life, I was going one way, and God showed me, he gave me an enlightenment, he gave me spiritual discernment, he awakened my soul, and now I am going this way because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm not playing around here. This is life changing. But not everyone will get it. Some will make fun of you. Some will say, "Ah, you're silly that you believe all that stuff." You know, going back to the parable that Jesus told the prodigal son, I think the reason the younger son left his dad is he wanted freedom. He's like, "Dad, I'm 18 years old. I'm ready to do it on my own. Living with you stinks, Dad. I want to go use your money and finally have freedom." And so he goes and he lives life in his mindset of what freedom is, and he gets to do whatever he wants with all the money his dad gave to him. But by the end of the story, he hits a roadblock. He realizes All this I've spent my money on, all this has amounted to nothing. And then he came to his senses and he realizes, you know when I felt most free? When I was with my dad. When I was with my heavenly father, that's where freedom, everything I ever wanted was with my dad. And I needed to have a spiritual awakening because I thought it was useless to be with my dad. I thought being with God would be enslaving, not fun, joyless, painful, guilt-ridden. And then he realized, oh, it's none of that. I get to be with my dad. And when he goes back to his dad embraces him, adopts him into his family, throws him a big party and says, my son is alive again. He gets it. And there's a celebration. When God spiritually awakens you and you go back to the Father and say, I want to be part of your family, some of your friends are going to go, oh, you just lost your freedom. You're with God. I'm sorry, man. It's over. But you're saying, no, you don't understand. I thought I was free away from God, but now I found freedom. I'm where I belong. God has given me his wisdom through Jesus Christ to see that the best news ever is that God came to earth in human form through Jesus Christ, that he died for all my sins so I can be forgiven, guilt-free, that he would adopt me into his family so I can talk to him like my dad. In fact, when Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, he says, my Father who art in heaven, that word is Abba, which actually means daddy. I have a relationship with my God I'd never had before. And then God gives me his spirit so I can become the person I always wanted to be but never could on my own. That's where freedom is. And so we celebrate that today. So I want to explain, as people are getting baptized, what they're doing is God has already awakened their souls. They've seen the truth through God and they've given their lives to Jesus. They've asked for his forgiveness. They said that they believe that all their sins were taken on the cross through Jesus Christ, and they've committed their lives to Jesus. And what they're doing now, and getting baptized, and they're not becoming Christians, it's a symbol of the decision they've made of what God has done in their lives. And so we're celebrating it. It's much like a wedding ceremony where you exchange the rings. This ring, my wife just stepped out, but if I were to lose this ring, which I would die if I did, but if I were to lose this ring, I'd still be married, right? But this thing is a symbol of my dedication to my wife. And she has one too, by the way. That's what baptism is. It's a symbol, symbolizing the work that God has done in these people and the commitment they're making to him. It symbolizes a few things. One is, it symbolizes that you're washed of your sins. You go in dirty, sinful, scarred. You awaken in Jesus Christ, clean, forgiven, righteous. It symbolizes that we have died to our old selves and we are rising to a life following Jesus, much like Jesus died and resurrected. And so we're burying you and we're coming back up. The Bible also talks that it's a bonding thing, that this act symbolizes your bonding with all other Christians throughout the world and throughout the centuries. They've all gone through this together as a symbol of commitment and dedication to Jesus Christ. So we're going to start this moment, but before we go into that, I'd like to just pray for us. I want to pray for you who've already been awakened by God, that God has shown you his wisdom through his spirit, shown you the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Just a time to say thank you, God. And also just to ask that God, you would continually be responsive to his spiritual awakening. And I want to pray for those of you who are here who are yearning for that spiritual awakening. Perhaps you're here, you're feeling guilty. You're feeling like my life doesn't make sense. I've done things my own way. I've tried my own path. I thought God was a slave driver, but now I'm wondering if I was wrong. I want to give you an opportunity to say, God, please awaken me. I want to see things from your perspective. I need help. So I'm going to offer prayer for both groups. Let's just start in prayer right now. I want to pray for those of you who are believers, who've given your lives to Jesus. God, we just want to say thank you that at some point, not through our own doing, you gave us a new perspective. You showed us what was really true, and you gave us a willingness to respond to you. So what I want to do, for those of you who are Christians, just briefly, short sentence praises. If you can just shout a thank you to God for the ways he's worked in your life. Let's just open up the time right now. Thank you, Jesus. You are good. And now I'd like to pray for those of you who are here. Perhaps you're just visiting because a friend or family is getting baptized, or perhaps you've been here for a while, and you're wanting that spiritual awakening from God yourself. You want that aha experience where things become clear. You want to understand the magnificence of Jesus Christ dying for your sins. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock." What Jesus is saying is here is that he is waiting for you to be open. And if that's you and you want to be open, you can just pray this prayer just between you and God. You don't have to say it out loud. God knows what you're praying. And you can say, "God, I need help. I want this spiritual awakening that only you can give. I know I'm sinful, and I need your forgiveness. But I trust what you say, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, that I could put all my sins onto him and he would take them for me. So I ask for forgiveness. And God, I don't want this just to be a nice, fun thing, but I really do want to commit my life to you and make this a moment where I'm changing directions." If you prayed that prayer, I want to say that God heard your prayer. And whether you feel something right now or tomorrow or later on today or this week, God heard your prayer. And I want you to live as though he has forgiven you and you are his. And we want to help you as a church. We have materials. We're willing to come together and pray with you. We want to come alongside you. So as we wrap up, there's a spot on your connection card where you can just say something to me at the bottom. "I prayed that prayer," or "I want to become a Christian," or "I need a spiritual awakening." We'll know what you mean. Just write that down so we can call you up, send you materials, pray for you, and help you on this next leg. God, we are so grateful for this celebration. Thank you for giving this to us, that we would never forget what you've done for us. Your wisdom, your awakening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.